Good afternoon and welcome to the fourth Quiz In podcast. It's actually the last for this academic year, which is rather sad times for us because we've just been enjoying it so much. But joined in the studio tonight, we have the tech divisions and the energy division. So first of all, let me introduce myself. My name is George. I'm the co-founder.
I'm Lawrence. I'm the other co-founder. And we have...
I'm Paul and I'm part of the energy division.
I'm James. I'm part of the tech division.
I'm Jack, and I'm division manager of the tech division.
And I'm Trisha, and I'm also a part of the tech division.
Brilliant. Well, let me just give you a quick update on how our portfolio has been doing at the moment. So you'll remember from previous shows that we came together as a fund to decide on what companies we're going to invest in. And actually, the choices that the teams have made have been extremely successful. So overall, the portfolio is up 2.5%. And that's a gain of $2,000. So we're actually doing extremely well. This is obviously paper trading with a account balance of $100,000. But nonetheless, over such a short period of time of only a month, a gain of 2.47% is very significant. And lots of those gains have been brought by the companies here, by the divisions here today. For example, CapEx, which I'm sure the team will talk about, is up a whole 7%. And the Gamesa Corporation, which is wind turbine manufacturer, is up 0.57%. So there's a real range. Right, well, let's actually, I was going to start with the industrials division, but let's actually go first to the tech division. I think, Lawrence, you're going to go through what the tech team have been up to.
Well, basically, I've got some questions firstly for the tech team, and that's basically based on the recent interest rates, decisions by the Fed, and the looming decisions by the ECB and the Fed later this month as well. Basically, they've been holding back from interest rates. And I was wondering sort of your views on this sort of holding back and pushing back of the increased interest rates, how that will affect your sector and CapEx and Arm Holdings.
For larger firms like Arm Holdings or Apple, for example, it kind of shows that there's going to be less demand than there was originally expected or originally forecast by these companies. So although it is actually cheaper for them to invest currently, there isn't the demand that they would require to make them take the risk of investing right now.
I've found that, we can talk about it a bit later, but Arm Holdings in particular has been knocked by falling demand, or suspected future falls in demand, as the low interest rates indicate.
There's also this news about Apple and how they...
Yeah,
Trisha, you mentioned as well that the fact that they are sort of moving from Arm Holding chips to Intel chips and their iPhones.
So, like, recently there was a deal made between the two of them, and it happened so that Apple actually made a deal with Samsung and Intel, and analysts have said that around 30 to 40% of the new iPhone 7s that may be coming out and possibly the models after that will actually have Intel chips in them rather than Arm Holding. Though, having said that, though, many analysts still do believe that Arm Holding do have the more dominant chips. So, I mean, there is scope for them to always move away and move to other companies such as Samsung, HTC. So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes in the next coming months.
Yes, Jefferies downgraded Arm's shares to a hold status last week. And this was because of expected falling demand. And I think Apple are releasing their results as we speak, but they were expected to announce that for the first time iPhone sales are going to be down, and that has had obviously a negative impact on all suppliers, everyone through the Apple supply chain. But the Simon Segars, the CEO of Arm, has said that the company are, whilst this is obviously not insignificant, Arm are well positioned to capitalise on increasing demand for data protection, transmission and storage over the coming months and years.
So it's really about Arm sort of focusing on maybe away from Apple and their sort of bigger clients, and also sort of spreading out to different sectors of the industry and sort of maximising their capitalisation there. That's very interesting. There's also another question. There's been a lot of sort of weak earnings reports last week and sort of into this week within the tech industry. And this is, you know, included with Apple again, suspected today is meant to be very weak. It sort of led for traders to sort of take a pullback from the tech sector recently in the last week. I don't know how you feel this will only affect the whole industry, but also CapEx and Arm Holdings.
actually released their results last week and were they were an anopoly from the rest of the tech sector. They announced that their profits were up 14% year on year, pre-tax profits, and that revenue was up 22%. This was to sort of dismiss concerns about the slowdown in the smartphone industry. So although their share price has fallen since we bought in, I think we remain confident that this isn't a long-term sign of negative growth.
Yeah, I would say that like the big companies such as Apple having slowing sales of mainly their key product, the iPhone, does kind of impact negatively on traders' views, because if the flagship companies within the tech sector aren't performing as well as expected, they may change their actual forecast of other companies as well. But like for a smaller firm such as Capex, at the moment they're looking for orders from small to medium size clients or companies that actually are investing in new products. So as such, I don't think it's going to impact us anywhere near as much as it would do a larger firm such as Arm, that's got thousands more investors and pensions involved that may start, or pension funds that may start trying to move their money around. So it's more private investors that will hold on to a company such as Capex.
Yeah, adding to that, as of yesterday, statements were kind of released by a Credit Suisse analyst, and they actually believe that as of yesterday's opening statement, which I think was 935 GBX, a lot of Credit Suisse analysts have said that there's still a potential upside of Arm Holdings increasing by 25.7%. So obviously the kind of moving away and investors pulling out of the tech industry may have an overall impact on a lot of other companies within the tech industry. But like we said, I think Arm Holding obviously still has a major major clients everywhere else, and I do think they still have the potential to perform throughout the rest of the year.
Well, I think especially as we've seen that their earnings completely outperformed the sector, that's very interesting. And also the fact that this sort of the weak earnings report seems to have come from sort of consumer, sort of downstream products, producers and suppliers, yes, rather than
social
upstream.
Media companies have really struggled, especially Twitter recently.
Yeah, so maybe this can indicate maybe changing preferences towards different products or alternatives, and sort of a widening and more competitive landscape in those consumer areas. Do you have any questions, George?
No, I mean, it just sounds like we got some good selections, and I just say with the Arm Holdings, it doesn't sound like that's going to be sort of indicative of future growth for the rest of the year. So sounds like some really good choices there. Now, the industrials team, they just obviously everyone's quite busy at the moment with exams and other commitments. So sadly, none of the industrials team can make it to tonight's show. But I'd like just to bring you some of the performance from the companies that they've brought to us. And in fact, it is the best performing division. First of all, with Fossagro, which is a Russian fertilizer company, which has reached highs of 10%. Currently, it's trading up 6% since we bought. And that is partly due to the rebound in the oil price, because Russian stocks are very linked to the oil price, just because of how important oil exports are to that economy. And the fact that the oil price has recovered has been extremely good for Russian stock. And also, there's actually been significant increase in demand for fertilizer, as the industrials team predicted, and production of fertilizers was up 10% in the first quarter. So really good choice there. And the second company is Greencore, which is a sandwich maker. I know these are riveting companies, but they, with industrials, you do just need to, they may sound boring, but they do actually make some proper growth gains. And that is true of Greencore, who've been on a consistent growth trajectory. In fact, they were up 13% around about the 7th of April, whereas they are currently trading 5% today. But certainly they are a good buy for the future, and we're certainly going to hope for some more growth over the coming period. So that's from the industrials, and Lawrence is going to take us through the energy team.
It's very interesting that both industrial stocks that we've picked are outperforming the indexes as well, those industries. So moving on to the energy team, we have George here. So basically this first question's for you. So recently we've seen the Paris agreements, the Paris talks. China today has announced to be one of the first countries to sign those agreements, which is quite surprising considering China's sort of emissions output. So really, how does this relate? How will this affect not only our stocks, but the wider energy industry and potentially renewable energies and renewable companies moving into China?
Yeah, well, it's an extremely interesting question because obviously China, they pollute so much. They get the majority of their energy from coal, which is one of the most carbon-intensive fossil fuels. But nonetheless, they have now a political necessity to move to a cleaner energy source. Partly, you know, climate change, it happens over hundreds of years. We don't really know when it's going to happen. It's going to happen over a long period of time. And the actual symptoms are very hard to identify. In contrast, in China, there's coal power plants spewing fog, particulates, pollution that are causing lung cancer, breathing problems throughout the country. That is becoming an incredibly important political issue. So China do actually appear to be taking the lead, and it doesn't appear to be a sort of disingenuously, they do genuinely believe that change is required. But coming back to your question about actually what the effect will be on us, certainly we've seen a complete collapse in coal stocks after Paris, and obviously that's quite significant on the London Stock Exchange, where we have quite a lot of coal companies. And also it's just benefiting a lot of the renewable companies. So, for example, both the companies that we've invested in, Gamesa Corp and Canadian Solar, have significant contracts in China, and it is just a massive growth area. So I expect that growth will continue, and with the help of the Chinese government, I don't see that stopping anytime soon.
That's interesting you mentioned that. I was also thinking that there could be sort of infant industry protection within China, within their own sort of trying to build their own renewable energy companies and sort of industry. Do you feel that your, not only our stocks, but the wider sort of renewable energies will struggle to export to China and there'll be import barriers? Or do you think that China will open barriers and open free trade for all imports?
I definitely think it is a factor to take into consideration. But China, you know, with its strong, you know, growth and continual growth, I would say it's more likely to open up its borders and keep that trade coming in, because especially renewable energies is becoming such a rising sector in their economy that they're going to want to keep that, you know, functioning.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, certainly in solar, Yingli, which was the largest solar manufacturer, is a Chinese backed state company, and there was a big hoo-ha from the US government saying this is subsidized, this is unfair competition. And there was actually some change trying from the Chinese government to respond from that sort of attack from the US government. So despite this, the fact that they are subsidized, it is interesting to see that American and Canadian and European companies are acting within China. And as Paul alluded to there, it's probably due just to the fact that the growth is so significant, there isn't actually enough capacity in China, but also the fact that there's actually significant expertise in European and American companies that the Chinese still haven't got access to.
Okay, that's interesting. There's also recent Doha talks on oil and sort of and further from that, but also we've seen that oil has risen 3% just alone today, based on sort of supply expectations and demand expectations sort of equaling towards the end of the year, and this, you know, this glut of oil has sort of been eradicated and sold through. How do you feel this affect the you know, we've invested in renewable sectors, how do you think this will affect our positions?
Well, the oil price going up, it could suggest like an upswing in the market and maybe a potential recovery for the firm's profits and revenues and stuff, but I would argue that this could also be a temporary upswing, because following the latest OPEC monthly report, oil report, which was recently published, it's actually expected that Iran's production will be up from 500,000 to 600,000 barrels per day by the year's end. And also it's believed that Iran won't be participating in the price freeze, so they're going to continue their supply, which is arguably going to drive the price back down.
It seems all the ill discipline within OPEC, yeah, could sort of exactly spell dangers for oil price in the future.
Certainly Iran are using this as an opportunity to gain market share as the Saudis and the Russians try and cut back. And I think the Saudis aren't going to play game if the Iranians are going to do that. So, yeah, I mean, actually today, the part of this shock was due to a strike in Yemen, which reduced supply temporarily, which kind of balanced demand and supply for the first time, obviously, in ages. So maybe we're hoping that supply will decrease over the year and we will see some balance again. But I think this is a temporary change. Just on the point about renewables, we've actually been quite fortunate the fact that the oil price went down and renewables seem to somehow continue to be unaffected. Yeah, as Paul said there, when oil prices go up, this kind of is a sign of confidence. It's a sign that energy is regaining its former strength. And obviously, the more expensive oil is, then comparatively, renewables are cheaper. So again, I think it's just going to be good for our positions.
Okay. Do the tech team have any questions for the energy team?
No, I was going to ask about Iran, but I think that's been covered.
Okay. Yes,
yeah, I would just like to add that also on top of that, like the oil and gas companies have been looking for alternative ways to kind of boost their profits, and a company I noticed, New Star Energy, have actually been turning to digital technologies to lower costs and improve efficiency, and they've been focusing their efforts by equipping field employees with mobile technology to collect important data. So they're looking in other directions to get that market share back.
Hmm. So moving on from that, how do you feel that GAMSGA and Canadian Solar are going to perform moving forward, the end of our fund and the end of the year?
I've got Matthias's review on GAMSGA, and they've actually traded up 40 cents, and they've been growing slowly overall, but with rather big fluctuations. However, without dropping lower than 16.25, and their highest value has been around 17.5. GAMSGA have also won several contracts in Europe, Turkey, India, and China over the last month, with the stock value rising to 17.12 in April, and GAMSGA have landed two notable deals in India. However, the value soon fell dramatically the day after, and there have been some degree of scepticism due to the delays in the merger talks with Siemens that has been ongoing since late January. These delays have been caused due to earlier established joint ventures between GAMSGA and French Areva. However, even if the merger talks have been delayed, Siemens has proved to be truly reliable, and it's been serious in its merger talks with GAMSGA, and that would suggest that despite the uncertainties, there will be some growth in the future.
Yeah, I'd say in terms of Canadian Solar, they've had a more rocky ride over the past month and a half, and that has been, I've just been reading into it, which is interesting, mentioning sort of debt and interest payments with the tech division, and this has been the sort of problem for Canadian Solar, because in solar, the solar industry, there's the rise of this thing called a yield company. So it's taking all the safe assets from a company and sticking them in a separate safer company. That means that this company will get lower debt charges because it's so much safer. And so Canadian Solar have been considering this, but there's been delays in the actual application of changing, of dividing their assets up. And during that process, obviously, confidence has been hit because of that delay. And also, there's questions of being over-leveraged. If you take all your safe assets out of the company and you get new contracts, then you may have to sell some of your assets to not appear over-leveraged. So Canadian Solar have been going through some problems, and certainly through the first part of April, it did drop quite significantly. But just the general the confidence regrowing back in solar has increased. So we're actually positive 0.16% at the moment. So I think that this was a temporary blip, and the fundamentals that we brought to you before Easter certainly still stand.
That's very interesting, the sort of difficulties with raising debt through Canadian Solar there. I think that's about all we've got time for today. So thank you for everyone coming in, and thank you for listening.
Well done, guys.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Sweet.
Wow.
Natural. Yeah, that's probably what we should be,
that's how it needs to be.
Aiming for anyway. Yeah.
Quick. Lots of questions.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, I was gonna ask you guys something. For in terms of like jobs, you've got like summer internships this year. What did you have spring weeks last year, and what would you advise to do this summer, like with myself, to try and like,
yeah, because you've both got ones, haven't you?
I didn't do spring week, but I did have like an insight week at Barclays before, but it was only like corporate banking and risk management stuff. I did like equity firm, this, loads of different things, like just trying to do as many stuff like this and, like, as you can.
So I was summer. Looking to trying to get a summer job, and like the fallback is like being a waiter in a restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, should I do something more like banking related to?
I would try. Yeah. I didn't. I run my own sort of business type of thing. So I just did that over the summer.
I got a list up of 100.
So like, first of all, like work experience. If you've got any friends or family, like definitely draw on those connections if you can. So maybe that'd just be like a week or whatever, shadowing someone. Yeah. That's really good for the CV. So in terms of actual work, it depends, because like on my gap year, I worked at an energy company. It was just at the call centre doing like just work. But like each lunchtime, I would talk to the traders and learn about it. And even though it's not that good a job, it's related, so you can talk about
just
it.
Just like two lines on your CV. Though.
Exactly. Mm. So, but then banking is harder to get temporary jobs. You know, I'm not really sure.
I had a list up of like boutique investment banks in London, just like 100, and just like emailing each one.
They run most of their own.
Yeah, so like, that's why I was trying to find small ones that might have like filing to do and coffees to be
made. You can just go down and then just like wait outside their offices.
Well, I was half thinking of going into London with like two bowls, like one full of cookies and one full of like one for like business cards.
Business cards.
Say like cookie for a card.
That's hilarious, mate. Definitely try that.
The worst they can say is no.
Put you on a blacklist.
In the interviews, you can talk about that.
Yeah, that was a week actually. And
they'd probably find it funny.
I would employ me, whether they would.
Like, if just to bulk out, they haven't got as much money. Because a lot of them use like applicant tracking.
I'd say, yeah, I mean, there's also.
They look for names. I didn't look hard enough.
I only properly engaged in something.
Automatically gets put to the top of the
queue.
That's what
I'm saying. So, I mean, you guys are better position, like, and if you try and do something over the summer,
that just
shows that you've been committed.
If you just try and get a week in an accountancy, it's
temporary jobs. Actually, if you want to earn money, that's pretty.
Well, like, I can really recommend certainly work experience. Or like trying to do like a blog.
Cheers.
Finance blog. Trading.
Can you give me all a message with some feedback?
Oh yeah, cool.
Yes. Tonight.
Sure.
Just like a little comment. Quitting's changed my life.
Yeah.
How much would you think
recommend? Well, it just depends. Like, as much as varied as much.
Yeah, because right now
I had recently just started up my own company.
Yeah.
But me and my brother started up our own tech company.
Oh yeah.
So.